Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Fast away, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 26th of November 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. No new cases of COVID on the island. We have nobody in hospital with COVID and six in non-community isolation. But certain operations are stopped for the moment because of pressure on nobles. Peel's MHKs were accused of posturing over the Isle of Man bank closure. A charity offers returning students £250 for accommodation. And the Manx poet Paul Lebedzinski is in print for the first time.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fast am I, Alex Watton.
Fast am I. Pressures on Nobles Hospital are higher than average, according to the Health Minister. David Ashford was speaking at this afternoon's coronavirus media conference. As a result, he says they're putting a temporary halt on non-urgent elective orthopaedic operations from tomorrow. Police are investigating after a former school building in Douglas was damaged. The rear doors and a rear window from the former Henry Bloom Noble Primary School building on Domain Road has been targeted between 4:30 on Saturday and 1 o'clock the following day. Officers say it's resulted in a considerable amount of damage. And a newly qualified interior designer says the business support she received during lockdown was invaluable. Coronavirus restrictions came into force just after a month Michelle Murphy completed her training. Further afield, Boris Johnson says a stricter coronavirus tier system was needed in England to prevent a new year national lockdown. 99% of the country will not be able to mix indoors with other households when current restrictions end next week. Meanwhile, the number of coronavirus infections in the UK has dropped by 25% in the last week, but 494 further deaths have been reported in the past 24 hours, as well as over 17,000 new cases. And Arsenal look likely to be the first Premier League club to play in front of fans when restrictions lift. They've announced plans to allow 2,000 fans to attend their Europa League game with Rapid Vienna next Thursday. Those are the headlines, news in full at 6.
Man Benham, expert legal professionals, assisting individuals and businesses worldwide. Man Benham, here for you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Alex. Just a quick note, by the way, the 10 to 5 Liverpool flight has been delayed until at least 6:30 this evening, which means the inbound 6:40 from Liverpool will be considerably delayed. On this flume-free Thursday in Emshertshire, the weather, Ronaldsway Met Office say nothing untoward out at sea for the next 24 hours. On the Isle of Man, dry and clear and still after dark. We're down to 2 degrees, so there's a considerable risk of frost tomorrow morning. Gehenio, Friday, a bright start, then cloudy, mostly dry, and a light variable wind settling southeasterly. Daytime maximum 9 degrees. Possibility of light rain overnight into Saturday. The overnight minimum is 7. Jasan, any rain first thing will clear, leaving the day dry and cloudy with a moderate southeasterly wind. Top temperature 8 Celsius. High water this evening, 9:05. Low water, 4:20 a.m. Sunrise, 8:09 tomorrow morning. And high water is at 10:11.
For the latest high-tech windows, doors, conservatories, fascia and soffits, visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
And if you're sending Christmas cards, today is the last posting date for airmail to static BFPOs, world destinations, including parts of Europe. Today, the last posting date for airmail to British Force post offices for Christmas. There's to be a temporary halt on non-urgent elective orthopaedic operations from tomorrow. Health Minister David Ashford, MHK, made the announcement at this afternoon's media briefing. It's as he says, pressures on nobles are higher than average.
The number of daily admissions through the emergency department at Nobles has been rising over recent weeks and is higher than average when compared to the same period last year. In order to manage this demand, from the 27th of November, we are going to temporarily have to halt non-urgent elective orthopaedic operations to create additional bed capacity. I need to stress that emergency cases still will be dealt with as normal, and day cases, clinics and minor injuries will also continue to be covered by the orthopaedic team as normal. We have also activated our winter plan, which the Chief Minister mentioned, which was drawn up precisely for these circumstances, which will focus on maintaining an efficient flow of patients through the hospital and prioritise those who need to be prepared for discharge. The current rise has been caused by a mix of acute care needs, so there's no one significant single cause. While seasonal illnesses account for some of the demand, it's not a substantial part of the demand. So, in closing, although we've had to make some changes in order to cope with the winter pressures, I would emphasise that this doesn't mean that people should act any differently. You should treat any symptoms or concerns as you normally would, usually consulting your GP or local pharmacist in the first instance, and of course, in a medical emergency, still dialing 999.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
Peel's two MHKs are being accused of posturing ahead of next year's general election over the closure of the town's branch of the Isle of Man Bank. Ray Harmer and Geoffrey Boot have been campaigning to keep the Isle of Man Bank open in Peel, but the Douglas East member, Chris Robertshaw, says they didn't show the same support for the sub-post office network.
I laughed when I listened to Geoff and Ray this morning posturing about the Isle of Man Bank in Peel. I think the electors of Peel and Glenfeibre need to understand that neither of those two ministers have offered any support at all with regard to maintaining the future of a core sub-post office network, and there are key sub-post offices. Peel is one of them.
Council ministers said it was up to the post office, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, and that was where they're wrong. The committee's argument was, and it's a very, very strong one, but it was completely brushed aside by the Council of Ministers, that there is a strategic, in terms of cash handling and social obligation, there is a governmental, a political responsibility to our communities in that regard. And Council of Ministers simply will not accept that responsibility. They simply say, oh, well, the sub-post offices are the responsibility of the post office and it's nothing to do with us. So all I'm saying now, and it's a warning, is that if ultimately the sub-post office in Peel closes, and let me make it clear, the Economic Policy Review Committee are recognised that all the sub-post offices now are under threat from a viability perspective. If the sub-post office closes in Peel at some stage, then Geoff Boot and Ray Harmer must bear some responsibility for that. So enough of this posturing about the bank. Let's see them recognise the real needs of their community and stop posturing before an election. Frankly, I'm disgusted with their behaviour.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Just checking on the webcams, the Ben McCree is spinning around in Douglas Harbour to reverse onto the Lynx bench. He left Heysham at 2:05 and just arriving, should be discharging fairly shortly, and then off out again at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at 11:30 tonight, leaving at 2:00 tomorrow morning, back into Douglas at 5:45 tomorrow morning.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
This past Monday, one of the teaching unions on the Isle of Man involved in a dispute over pay and conditions with the Education Department voted to accept a new deal. And it's caused some to speculate that the year-long saga is coming to an end. But what do the students think, the people in the middle, and how has it impacted school life for students? The man in line was live at St Ninian's High School this lunchtime.
I think it's affected us a lot because I know that Parents' Evening has been cancelled this year, so it's like, we can't find out from our teachers whether we're good, whether we're bad. We, like, our parents can't get hammered down the facts. They would have to go through us. And I think we've just not been given a lot of support.
I understand why the teachers are wanting to strike, but I don't think it's very fair that after we're trying to recover from a pandemic and lots of students have missed out on a lot of education, that they're not holding catch-ups at lunch, because it's just making the students' ability to learn much harder than it already is.
I feel like the longer the other two unions like are striking, the more the impact's going to get, and I believe it'll be like an exponential. As you go over time, it just gets worse and worse and worse, and I feel like by our time our exams come, if the other two unions haven't stopped striking, what point are we going to be in? Are they going to be able to provide after school revision sessions? Are they going to be able to help us out of our lesson time? Are we going to be able to email them the day before our exam being like, help, I don't know what to do?
Everybody's saying, oh, we're missing out on loads of learning, we are going to be worse off in our exams. We are sitting English exam boards or Scottish exam boards, and when you actually compare it to what they've missed because of COVID, we aren't that far behind. So that's not a valid argument to stop the strikes, in my opinion.
I do sympathise with the teachers. I think, obviously, you can see that a lot of people are facing disadvantages and not having the ability to speak to their teachers out of class time. But overall, the blame isn't on the teachers, because they're just doing what they feel they need to do in order to get what they deserve.
The point that everyone's trying to highlight is the fact that it seems like teachers are neglecting their students, where that's the whole point of the strike, is to highlight how important they are to us.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
Good evening, it's 19 minutes before six. As online shopping booms, a group of new financial companies have sprung up to allow consumers to pay for items in instalments, interest-free, threatening the dominance of credit cards for e-commerce transactions. Instead of charging hefty interest for late payments, firms like Klarna and Afterpay have shifted fees onto merchants, of which hundreds of thousands now use the services to attract customers not ready to pick up to pay up front for purchases. Europe will become a $350 billion market for pay later programs by 2025, according to the London-based market researcher Kaleido Intelligence. And Tesla announced today that it planned to start making electric vehicle chargers in China next year as part of the US carmaker's push to boost sales in the world's biggest car market. Tesla sells its Model 3 electric cars in China and plans to deliver its Model Y sports utility vehicle next year. Plans to invest 42 million yuan, that's $6.5 million, in a new factory to make its third generation of quick chargers, known as the Supercharger V3. The factory will be near its car plant in Shanghai. China offers hefty subsidies for electric vehicles as it seeks to cut down on pollution from petrol and diesel cars, and has been expanding its nationwide network of charging points, which is one of the biggest barriers to adoption of EVs. China currently imports EV chargers from the United States. The new factory will have the capacity to make 10,000 chargers a year. Tesla sold more than 13,000 vehicles in China in October and will expand research capabilities in Shanghai.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed little change as investors paused for breath after a global rally in recent sessions. The dollar was on the defensive. US oil fell despite a surprise drop in crude inventories. Gold prices rose as poor US jobs data and worries over COVID-19 cases worldwide bolstered the metal's safe haven appeal. In corporate news, Persimmon, Imperial Brand, Land Securities and National Grid were all weaker as their stock went ex-dividend. And on the upside, precious metals miner Polymetal International rallied after it acquired a stake in copper and gold exploration group Chesterfield Resources. The numbers now at the close in London. The FTSE 100 was down almost 0.5% at 6,362. The DAX in Frankfurt up 0.1% at 13,306. At 5 o'clock in New York City, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.5% at 29,872. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up 0.5% at 12,094. And the S&P 500 in Chicago down 0.1% at 3,629. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 33.3 cents, and €1 12 cents, and 20 South African rand and 30 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold up 0.1% at $1,809 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 2.3% at $47.72.
The Stock Market Report was brought to you by Ramsey Crookall, the island's investment specialist. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
The Manx Solidarity Fund has stepped in to help students returning to the Isle of Man to pay for their alternative accommodation. Those who need to spend 2 weeks in isolation away from home can apply for £250 from the charity to cover costs. It's on top of the £500 available from government, but only if you're eligible. Director Peter Washington spoke to Ewan Gorn.
These parents must be going through a terrible time, and we really feel for them. So coming up to Christmas, it's all of a sudden that they've got now financial extra burden that they haven't planned for. We know a lot of people that go to university and they are really stretched. They take second jobs, they do extra shifts. Now all of a sudden they've got an extra bill and they might be sat there thinking, how are we going to do this? Because they will do anything for the children, which is understandable.
So how can you help? Because government's giving that £250 away, but how much more can you add to that?
Well, what we've decided to do is we're going to provide up to a maximum of £250 to the applicants that qualify. So this is just some extra money. If they've fallen through this gap, and it's not going to be enough with what the government are offering, we're prepared to step in and give another £250.
So this is on top of that initial government.
Yeah, it's up to a maximum of for two weeks. Again, we might be looking at families might have more than one person going to university, so that's going to impact them on that.
So what do you have to be eligible for this?
It's like anything else with the Manx Solidarity Fund. You've got to go through the portal and you've got to apply. And we have got to do due diligence. And I think the students and their families have got to realise that we might have to do some information sharing with the Department of Education and Culture just to make sure that they are what their grant status is. And it is just for the Christmas period. We're not even looking at next Easter yet. So for this period. So we have got our due diligence to do. And that's the kind of thing that we do with every applicant. But because this is going to, you know, if we've got a potential surge of applicants in to do this effectively and as quickly as we can, that's why we need to work with the Department of Education to try and streamline it so that we can, you know, get the money to where it needs to be as soon as possible.
Manx Radio Sport. Bastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Bastamai, a very good evening to you. It's been a record-breaking year for the Sidquirk Half Marathon, which happened on Sunday. The percentage of female competitors in total was 40.67%. That's the first time the figure has ever gone above 40%. A total of 359 people finished either the walk or run race, smashing the previous highest amount of finishers, which was last year's 250, and the number of finishers specifically in the run was a record 313, again obliterating the previous highest number of 195. A full list of results for each competitor can be found on the manxathletics.com Facebook page. The second round of hockey's Team of the Week has been released and again has players from all seven clubs on the island represented. 30 players, 9 of which were nominated from direct opposition, 3 umpires highly thought of, and loads of nomination stories were sent in this week. Some of the ones who made the cut include under-16 player and umpire Millie Gale as official, Valkyrie's Donna Harrison in defence, Backers' Niamh Moyer in midfield, and Castletown's Cameron Blamey as one of the chosen forwards. A full list of the players selected this week can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Further afield, and the BBC will show a live game on the 26th of December for the first time after the Premier League confirmed its fixtures over the festive period. BBC TV will show Aston Villa's match against Crystal Palace on Boxing Day. In cricket, and Sydney Thunder pulled off a remarkable 12-run win over Brisbane Heat to reach the final of the Women's Big Bash League. Chasing 144, the Heat, champions for the past two seasons, collapsed from 119-4 to 131 all out. That's despite Laura Kimmins's 37 off 17 balls in Sydney. Meanwhile, the Rugby Football Union is to donate 400 tickets to NHS workers as Twickenham prepares for the return of fans. London's Tier 2 status means a crowd of 2,000 people can watch England play their final match of the Autumn Nations Cup.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. 11 minutes before 6, the 4:30 departure to London City left a minute early. As yet, the 10-5 to Liverpool hasn't gone. It's going at about 6:30, which means the inbound 6:40 from Liverpool won't be arriving for a wee while. And London City inbound at 8 o'clock tonight. And incidentally, the 4:20 inbound from Manchester hasn't arrived yet either. on the roads. Well, Broadway should be reopening fairly shortly. If it hasn't already, you'll be able to turn left from the promenade onto Broadway and then up to St Ninian's traffic lights and Victoria Road. Today it's supposed to happen, so we keep our fingers crossed for that. It may be open already. 24-hour lights for resurfacing at Captain's Hill in Langsey, and also 24-hour lights for drainage and curbing works on Quarterbridge Road and also King Edward Road in Onchan for the railway work. The phased closures for water main replacement and sewerage infrastructure in Peel continue on East Quay from Garage to Mariner's Wharf. That's on until the 11th of December. Then it moves on to the Quayside Restaurant. All the information, by the way, at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey. Go to the travel page for the interactive map for travel works across the Isle of Man.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Quayside, Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
The man behind the campaign to keep Castletown's branch of the Isle of Man Bank open says the manager rejected his calls to delay the closure by a month. After submitting a petition against the decision to close the facility, Alwyn Collister met the manager, Stuart Chivers, to discuss alternatives.
I could tell straight away that there was going to be no change in what they were going to do, close the bank. But I did come up with a couple of suggestions, partly to say the bluntness of closing on a certain date, could that be extended? And I said, well, could you give us another 6 months just to keep your customers a little bit happier? And they said no. And I said, well, what about an extra month, delay it for a month? And the answer to that was no. Now, I didn't come out with this straight away, and I didn't run to the press with that. And I told the bank I wouldn't do that until they had negotiated with Peel. I was disappointed that they didn't do that. Do they want to keep their customers, I asked them, or do they want them to go to some other bank? They didn't want to lose their customers, but they're not helping to keep them, are they? And that's the thing that worries me intensely. The commissioners need to get together with the Isle of Man Bank and try and do something else to help the people in Castletown, even if it might be only for 1 or 2 days a week.
Well, you mentioned there that you did meet with one of the managers at Isle of Man Bank. Were you surprised that they weren't more open to some of your suggestions?
I was disappointed. Mr. Shivers, I met the manager, and he admitted that the decision was made in the Isle of Man, not in Jersey. Now, that did surprise me. Well, I couldn't believe that they couldn't have maybe used 2 days a week, but to go from complete closure to no days. 2 days in Castletown and 2 days in Peel is what I was hoping for, and we would have both accepted that. But no, it was a closed door right from the very beginning.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
7 minutes to six on Update. I'm Andy Wint, and the work of one of the most important and provocative modern Manx voices has been put into print for the first time. Culture Vanin's published a book of poems by Paul Lebedzinski, now available in shops around the Isle of Man. Paul Lebedzinski was known for thrilling live performances of nostalgic, humorous and politically charged poetry. Paul passed away in 1995, and Culture Vanin's James Franklin explains why Paul Lebedzinski deserves a place among the greatest poets of the Isle of Man.
Well, a Manx lad was wanting a cottage, but Pimp bought it over his head. By Jove, I gazumped him for sure, dratted local poor. Maybe I'll rent him a shed.
He was the son of a Manx woman, a Manx Irish woman, and a Polish person who came to the Isle of Man stationed at Jerby in the RAF during the Second World War. And then he grew up around Ramsey, particularly around South Ramsey, went through various different jobs and eventually became a gardener. But in the evenings, he took on the role as a brilliant, exciting performer of his own poetry around the pubs and clubs around the island, but particularly in Ramsey.
The front gate hangs drunken, the bird bath is sunken, and the wife's always covered in the fine concrete dust. And when we awaken, the old bed is shaken, and I become seized with uncontrollable lust.
The great thing about Paul's work is that he has these very different voices. And so on the one end, you might have the beautiful, reflective, nostalgic, beautiful poems. And then you might have these hilariously funny character sketches or comments on life at the time, right through on the far end, the anger and vitriol at what he saw as the erosion of Manx life, which was going on around him at the time. Perhaps people of our generation might be almost surprised to discover the issues which he's dealing with here. The things like the new resident policies of the 70s, 80s, 90s, where it was a policy of the time to try and get new people coming to settle in the Isle of Man. And there's a massive onset of building all over the Isle of Man. And Paul saw this and the erosion of the society which he knew in these places, and he saw the change and he was angered by it.
When comes the warmth, we'll meet, old friend, to thatch the ancient crofts again.
The words of Paul Lebedzinski and the poetry is available for Christmas this year in a book by Culture Vanin. That's it for Update, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Ewan Gore. Details of all the stories you've heard are available at manxradio.com. And of course, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. After the news at 6 o'clock, Tammy Guindis, hosted by Beth and Howie, 6:30 tonight, The Greatest Hits on Earth with George Ferguson. Update is back Friday evening at 5:30.
WINT.